Okay, so we're trying to still resolve, once again, the opinion of Rav Meir. Rav Meir seems to hold that you can pasul Edim or you can pasul Dayonim. And we're trying to work out why. We all agree, we saw this much earlier on, a daf ago, the Rav Meir is the first one to admit you cannot just pasul other dayonim if they're mumchim. So why are you allowed to pasul edim? What's going on? So we've seen a number of answers. We've seen actually three answers so far. Very briefly summarized. Either it was an eder echod, it wasn't two edim, or you actually are not pasuling the ed directly, but rather his entire family, therefore you're not considered megea. Or you are pasuling in the case where he said he's got two sets of Edim. So Rav Meir says, well, he's going to have to bring the next set, therefore you're not negea, because even if you pasul one, you're not off the hook. That's basically what we've seen so far. So we're now seeing the fourth teretz, and this is the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Reisha, on the top line now, be'edim psulim, v'dayonim ksheirim. Migu de pasli edim, pasli nami dayonim. So look at the top Rashi. What's going on over here? Be'edim psulim v'dayonim ksheirim. Says Rashi, Baal din, we're talking about a case, this is now the fourth answer. We're talking about a very particular case where the Baal din, this litigant, Poisel Hadayonim V'ho'edim. Until this point, we thought that we're talking about two separate cases. One case is passing the Dayonim, that's the Reisha. Then in the Sefer, he's passing the Edim. It turns out, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that actually he's passing both. Baldin, Poisel, Hadayonim, Vahoedim. Okay, so he makes a claim. I hereby claim that both the Dayonim and also the Edim are both Psulim. That's his claim. Venim Tzu'udvar of Emes Alhoedim. And it turns out that he's correct. His words are emes with regard to the Edim. We don't yet know whether his words are true with regard to the Psulim, with regard to the Dayanim. But when he claimed that the Edim are Psulim, what does that mean? He claimed the Edim are Psulim. He claimed, for example, he's got his friend Chaim, and he comes along and he says, I hereby claim that the Edim are Psul. And indeed, it turns out to be the case. They are Psul. What does it mean? They're Psul, they're Mechalalei Shabbos, or they're Kroivim. So here we have a tremendous chiddush. Umishum hachi. And since that is the case, because it turns out that he was saying the truth with regard to the Edim, meheiminon le, we believe him, afilu legabe dayonim. Even with regard to the dayonim. This is what the Gemara is calling migu. Migu, literal translation of the word migu, is since. So what does it mean, since? So let's now explain. This person has made a double taina, a double claim. What is his double claim? I hereby declare that both the Edim who were brought against me and also the Dayonim who are supposed to judge this case, I claim they are both possible. Now, we would have thought that in order to back up that double claim, you have to indeed prove you are correct in both counts. If you want to claim that Edim are Psulim, bring me a proof that the Edim are Psulim. If you want to claim the Dayanim are Psulim, bring me a proof that the Dayanim are Psulim. I would have thought that's considered two separate tainas, both of which have to be substantiated. The chiddush of the Gemara, and this is Rabbi Yochanan, that's what he's saying, is that there's something called migu. that if you're able to substantiate one of the two claims, it turns out that he was saying MS with regard to one of the two claims, since he's believed with regard to A, automatically he's believed with regard to B, even if it doesn't bring any proof. Unbelievable chiddush. So again, he made a double claim. He claimed that the Edim Psulim and the Dayanim Psulim. And indeed, it turns out he was correct with regard to the Edim. He managed to bring proof of the Edim Psulim, but he did not manage to bring any proof against the Dayanim. So I would have thought if that's the case, then the Dayanim are kosher. So have a look now at the top line of the Gemara once again. We'll see how this translates. We're talking about in the Reisha, Be'edim Psulim, where the Edim indeed turn out to be possible, but the Dayanim Ksherim, the Dayanim for the moment are kosher. He doesn't seem to make any, doesn't have any proof to back up his claim. He claimed that the Dayanim are also possible, but at the moment we don't seem to see that's the case. Nonetheless, Migu, underline the word Migu. This is the big principle over here. Migu, since the Pasli Edim, since, however, he was successful in Pasling the Edim, therefore Pasli Nami Dayanim. So too, he's able to Pasla Dayanim. And what about in the next case, in the Sefer? Sefer is the other way around. B'dayonin psulim ve'edim kshirim. Once again, we're talking about where he made a double claim. He claimed that he managed to passel both the dayonim and also the edim, and he managed indeed to back up his claim and prove that dayonim are psulim, they're krovim or they're bale aveira. So once again, what do we say? The migu, the pasli, dayonim, pasli nami edim. Have a look at that second Rashi. Sefer, says Rashi, is the other way around. Shenimtzu dvarov emes al hadayonim. It turns out that his words are indeed truthful with regard to dayonim. Shepsulim heim, they are indeed possible. When he made a claim, he indeed brought a proof. Umishum hachi, and therefore mehaymin, that's why we believe him also, a'edim, aliba the Reb Meir. The Rabbonon, however, less luhu migu, they don't hold to this migu principle. So what is Rabbi Yochanan teaching us over here? Again, always important. What was the question? What's the answer? The question is, how can you pasul somebody else's edim? What right have you got to pasul somebody else's edim? And the answer is, in the opinion of Rav Meir, this is the way Rabbi Yechon is explaining, you cannot indeed pasul somebody's edim directly. But if you're riding on the back of pasuling the dayanim, so if you cancel a dayanim, the edim are cancelled as well, and you do not need to back that up. Why? Because I dumped them all in one big taina. I made one big claim, and I said, I am hereby passling the edim and also the dayanim. So like I said, we would have thought, and Rabbanon indeed hold this way, that even though it's true, officially, even though you're making one claim, but Lamaisa, there's two halakim. You've got a taina neged the edim, and you have a taina neged the dayanim. So even if half of your taina turns out to be correct, we would have thought that you still have work, and you've now got to prove the other half of your claim to be correct as well. The chiddush of Rav Meir is one word. What's that word? Migu. Since it turns out that half of what you said is correct, memela, the other half is automatically assumed to be correct as well. Now this is a very, very tremendous chiddush. And l'chaira is not necessarily said in all areas of the Torah. Imagine I come to Beis Din and I say, I claim that Reuven borrowed $1,000 from me and he also damaged my car. So he owes me $1,000 for the loan. And I also claim he damaged my car. He owes me another $1,000. I say, okay, we hear the two claims. Could you please back yourself up? He says, well, I have Edim about the loan. The two Edim step in. Yes, he borrowed money. Fine. No question about it. He's $5,000. Would we have said now, ah, well, since you're believed on the first half of your claim with regard to the loan, automatically you're believed with regard to the car damage? Or would we have said, no, you brought Edim on the loan. Okay, very good. Now bring Edim with regard to the fact that you claim he damaged your car. And if you manage to bring Edim, that's great. And if not, then how could we possibly have your money? So there, we definitely don't say migu. There, everybody agrees that every claim you make has to be substantiated separately. But over here, we're not talking about claiming somebody owes me money. I'm parceling everything that my fellow litigant has brought. He has brought a set of Edim and he has brought a set of Dayanim. So if I manage to substantiate one of them, how so? I manage indeed to bring Edim. Yes, the Edim Apsulim, or yes, the Dayanim Apsulim. Reb Meir is mechadish a tremendous chiddush, migu. Since you were successful in proving half of your claim, we automatically assume that the other half is also true. That's the opinion of Reb Meir. Rabbanon disagree. Rabbanon do not hold of migu. And Rabbanon say, listen, whatever you proved, you proved. And whatever you didn't, you didn't. But merely to say that because half of what you said was MS, therefore we should automatically believe you with regard to the other half. No, we don't say that. That's the Machlokes. Yes, Larry.
According to Reb Meir, let's say we don't lekav schus, and the guy was intentioned to be an honest guy, but tachlis he made a mistake on the dayanim. In other words, he brings proof on the edim. Oops, he made a mistake on dayanim. So now, because he was correct about the edim, you're going to let a kosher pasul, a dayan be pasul? God, maybe the guy's going to make a mistake. It's not like he intentionally. We believe him. Well, he
That's
told
the
the truth
case.
here. He's going to tell the
Even
truth
if he
here.
made a mistake with regard to the Edim, so you see that this guy is not careful. So if he's not careful, we're going to say, okay, so therefore we're going to suggest he wasn't careful at all.
No, I'm saying, let's say he was told that he was right about the Edim, they're not, he was pasul, right? So now, therefore, the Dayan get pasul as well, okay? But the point is, what if the guy's pasuling the Edim is wrong about that Dayan? He made a mistake, he's wrong.
But that's
The
what we're
Dayan
saying.
are kosher.
We don't know the truth. Therefore, we're
Right, so
assuming.
that he should have, according to Mary, I mean, he should have to bring proof. You can't just pass a
Rabbanon.
reputation. There's a lot of things going on here.
That's the opinion of Rabbanon. That is the tremendous chiddush of Reb Meir. Reb Meir says if you manage to substantiate half your claim, we will give you automatic belief on the other half of the claim. Yes, this is a tremendous chiddush.
Does he have to give some kind of a basis for, I mean, I'm not mean be disrespectful, but does he have to give some kind of a basis for such a chiddush?
No. Oh, no. We definitely have migu in many places in the Torah. Since something works for A, it works for B. We learned a long, 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 long time ago, Gemara in Sukkah, where we learned the halachas of what constitutes a wall with regard to a sukkah. We know that on Shabbos, the halachas of walls are also very significant. Why? Because I need to know what's considered a Rosh HaYochid, what's considered a Rosh HaRabim, etc., etc. The definition of a wall for Sukkah is not necessarily the same as what considers a wall for Shabbos. They have different ways, different requirements. And yet we saw a Gemara there that said, Migu. What does it mean, Migu? That if you are celebrating Sukkot and you've come to Shabbos, since it's considered a wall with regard to Sukkah, it's considered also a wall with regard to Shabbos, even though it does not satisfy the requirements necessarily to be considered a wall for Shabbos. But since it's considered a wall for Sukkot, And Sukkos and Shabbos have now combined because it happens to be Shabbos Sukkos. So if it's considered a wall with regard to a sukkah, it's considered a wall also with regard to Shabbos. That also is an extremely difficult concept to accept. Why? Because who in the world cares that with regard to a sukkah is considered a wall, but with regard to Shabbos, it's not. And the chiddush of the migu is that if they combine, if they're put into one basket, why? Because it happens to be Shabbos on Sukkos, then I cannot split one from the other. So that's just one example. We have many, many examples of a migu. I'll give you one other example. You're allowed to carry, as we all know, on Yom Tov. Haitzah. Haitzah is a malacha which is mutter on Yom Tov. Now, normally the halacha is that you're only allowed to do a malacha if it is letzeirich Yom Tov. I cannot do a malacha which is not letzeirich Yom Tov. Says the Gemara, there's a principle called mitoich. Mitoich shehutra letzeirich, hutra nami shelo letzeirich. Rashi calls it a migu. Since the Torah was mate haitzah, that's it. We're mate haitzah completely. Why? Why can't we split the two and say if it's letzeirich the Yom Tov, then it's mutar, and if it's not, then it's not? So we have various examples in the Torah of migu, migu, migu. But I do admit this is a tremendous chiddush, and it's such a big chiddush, that's why Rabbanon disagree. So again, have we answered our original question? The original question was, how does Rav Meir allow me to passel somebody's edim? And the answer is that if I try to passel them directly, it will not work. You can't go around passeling edim. But if I'm passeling them because I put them in the same bracket as the Dayanim, and I'm saying that what the Dayanim apostle and also the Edim apostle. And it turns out that on half of my claim, I was 100% correct. So, Migu, since I was correct with part A, I'm automatically believed with regard to part B. So, basically, I'm riding on the back of the fact that I managed to pass the Dayanim, and automatically, the Edim are also considered to be apostle. Virtue of the fact that we have this principle called migul. And as the Gemara has just taught us, it works in both ways. If I'm believed, if I've turned out to be correct with regard to Dayanim, well, then the Edim are also possible. If it turns out I'm correct with regard to Edim, then the Dayanim are also possible. So as long as I substantiate half my claim, the other half is automatically accepted. This is called migul. Now, have a look at the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Maskif lo Rava. Rava has a big kasha over here. And he says, I only understand that in one direction. Which direction? Bishloima, says Rava, I understand Migu de Pasli Eidim, Pasli Nami Dayani. That I understand. I understand that if you passel the Edim, you can passel the Dayanim as well. Why? Why is that easier to understand? Because Ikka Beidina Achrina. Because you can always find another Beis Din. They're not stuck. You passel the Edim, fine, because you really did substantiate, you backed up your proof, and it turns out they're passel. So we're going to automatically now passel a Beis Din. Okay, it's not the end of the world to find another Beis Din. Elo, the other way around is very difficult. Elo, migu de pasli dayoni, pasli nami edim. That I find hard to accept. Why? Vaho edim suleka? Question mark. Who says there are other edim? If he claimed that both the Dayanim and also the Edim were possible, And it turns out he was correct with regard to the Dayanim. So what are we going to do now? We are automatically going to believe him also with regard to the Edim. He never substantiated his claim against the Edim. We're just going to automatically believe him. Why? Well, if you passed the Dayanim and that was successful, so we have to believe you with regard to part A. We're automatically going to believe you with regard to part B. So if the Dayanim were puzzled, the Edim are also out. One moment. Where are they going to get more Edim from now? Edim is not something you could just fish off the street. If there were two Edim, there were two Edim. That's what he's got. So the poor fellow litigant says, one second, please. I bought two kosher, valid Edim who back up my claim. On what basis are you throwing them out? Says his fellow litigant, well, because I have proved that the Dayanim apostle, it's true. Like Larry said before, I thought the Dayanim were kosher. Okay, I made a mistake. I forgot they were related, or I forgot that Machalei Shabbos. But I'm still remaining adamant that the Edim are perfectly kosher. What are you going to say? Well, if the first half was correct and I managed to pass the Dayanim, I'm passing the Edim as well. Well, what am I supposed to do now? I don't have any other Edim. In the case where I pass the Edim, and on that basis, you're going to throw out the Dayanim. Okay. So the Malveh is not going to be very happy about it, but he's not stuck. So get another Bezdin. But if you throw out the Dayanim, and on that basis, you now throw out the Edim as well, well, what's he supposed to do? Where's he going to get more Edim from? There are no more Edim. He claims these were the two people who I have to back up my story. Prove to me that they're invalid. Well, I can't prove it. Well, why are they being thrown out then? Because I was correct with regard to the Dayanim. They really are apostles. So, Migu, since I was correct there, I'm correct with regard to Edim. Well, what am I supposed to do now? I don't have any other Edim. Says Rashi. Rashi explains now the Gemara's question. The Gemara's question is not merely a question of is he stuck or is he not stuck? That's not the question. Rashi throws in three critical words. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Iker Beit Dinah Achrinah. There's another Bezdin. Ve'einoi noigeya be'edus. The Gevaldiger Rashi. The question of the Gemara is not Nebuch, the Malveh is stuck, what's he going to do? That's not the question. Rather, what is the question? The question is, if there are no further Edim, well then you are Negeah Be'edus. With regard to the Dayanim, you're not Negeah Be'edus. You're not Negeah. Why are you not Negeah? Because even if I somehow manage to prove that the Dayanim are thrown out, say they'll still find another Bezdin, so I haven't really got myself off the hook. But where I pass the Dayanim, and on that basis you want to say, Migu, that what? Since I throw out the Dayanim, I throw out the Edim as well, but he's got no other Edim. So the question is not Nebuch, so what's he going to do? But rather, if he's got no other Edim, so you're Negeah Be'edus, how do you possibly testify against somebody's Edim? With regard to the Dayanim, you're not Negeah. Why are you not Negeah? Because you throw out these Dayanim. Okay, so bring others. So you're not off the hook. There's always another Bezdin. But there's not necessarily always another Edim. And therefore, you're considered Negeah Be'edus. That's the Gemara's question. So, yes.
How come all this time they never brought up that fact when we're talking about Eidos, that he
We
has
didn't.
no, what is he supposed to do for Edim now?
That was the question. That was always
For
the
all the
question.
time we spoke about Negei Be'Eidos, that's
Of
really the bottom line is, what is he
course.
supposed to do about Edim now?
That's what we meant. Whenever the Gemara asks about Negev Be'edus, that's what we mean. If you pass the Edim, he's going to be stuck now. So you're getting yourself off the hook because he doesn't have any other Edim. And he doesn't have any other Edim. So you're Negev Be'edus. Says the Gemara, Lo Yitzricha. Do you know what we're talking about? Just like you can always get another Bezdin, we're also talking about the Ikka كات أخرس. He does have another group of Adim lined up. What does that
That
mean?
rescues Robin.
That the Malva claims that he's got two sets of Adim. Ah, one second. What does this remind us of? Aren't we just back to the previous Teretz? Says the Gemara, what are you trying to tell me? Holeka kat acheres mai. And if there wouldn't be another group of Adim, what are you going to tell me? What, that he's Negea? Then you're going to tell me, Hachanami deloi motzi pasli. Oh, well, then he's not able to pasl them because he's Negea. Thank you very much. Hainu de Rav Dimi, question mark. So we're back to Rav Dimi's answer. Rav Dimi on the previous Omud was the one who said we're talking about two sets of Adim. So I'm sorry to tell you, what exactly is Rav Yochanan being mechadish to me? Rav Yochanan also in the final analysis must be talking about a case where you've got two sets of Adim. Because if there's only one set, well, I'm sorry to tell you, Negea Be'edus. Ah, okay. So in the final analysis, what are you telling me? That there's a difference we're talking about. There's two sets of Adim. So when I testify against the first, I'm not Negea Be'edus. Okay, thank you very much. That was Rav Dimi's answer. What are you bringing to the table? What's your new teretz? And that's what the Gemara means. Hainu de Rav Dimi. Isn't that the same answer as Rav Dimi once again? Says the Gemara, no, it's not. Because Rav Dimi never spoke about Migu. Ika Beinayhu, there is a difference between them. And that is Migu, comma. Demar Sovar Omrinon Migu. Umar Sovar Loyomrinon Migu. There still is a difference between Rav Dimi on the previous Omud and Rav Yechman on our Omud. Yes, we have to be talking about there's two sets of Adim. Because if there's no two sets of Adim, there's only one set of Adim, you're Negea Be'edus. Fine. Everybody agrees that you're right. So what's the difference between the previous Teretz of Rav Dimi and the new Teretz of Rav Yechman? The difference is, can you puzzle that first set of Adim based on a Migu? That was Rabbi Yechanan's Chiddush. In the previous Omer, we didn't know anything about Migu. What did Rav Dimi say? Rav Dimi said, if you've got two sets of Adim, then you're allowed to directly puzzle the first group. Are you Negea Be'edus? I'm not Negea Be'edus. Because I know that even if I knock out the first set, there's still another set to follow. But how did I puzzle that first group? I've got to do so directly. I've got to somehow bring other witnesses to prove that they really are puzzled. What Rabbi Yochanan is bringing to the table is that there's a new way of puzzling that first group of Adim. What's that? Migu. Even if I did not bring any direct proof to say they're puzzled, I only bought direct proof to say that the Dayanim are possible. Since I was correct with regard to the Dayanim, Memela I'm considered to be believed also with regard to the Adim. But yes, it has to be in the case where there's another set of Adim lined up. That's true. So you cannot tell me that Reb Dimi's Teretz and Reb Yochanan's Teretz is identical. It's not identical. Rav Dimi does not hold of Migu. But in this case, Ravin, the name of Rav Yochanan, does hold of Migu. Look at Rashi on the second narrow line. Ravin, Sovar, Omino, Migu, Ba'alma, Kedekai Ma'ocha, like we hold over here, Tama Mishum Miguhu. Ve'ilav Hochi, but if not so, Loi have apostle, Rameo. And if not for this Migu, then Rav Meir would not have passed the Adim. Why not? Because at the end of the day, you never actually brought any proof against the Adim. You're just riding on the back of a Migu. Ule Rav Dimi, however, lo yomrin on Migu ba'alma. I don't hold of this whole Migu. No such thing as Migu. If you want to pass the Adim, jolly well bring a proof to their apostle. If you indeed bring a proof of the Adim apostle, then you are allowed to do so, again, providing that there is another set of Adim. If there's no other set of Edom, remember, what did we say? Well, then you cannot testify against the Edom because you're negei of Edus. But in the case where there's another set of Edom that the Malvis claim that he's got, I'm not negei, because even if I pass the first group, he's still going to produce the second. But Rav Dimi says, if you want to indeed pass the first group, jolly well testify against them. But merely to say, well, I don't have any proof against them, but I'm just going to ride on the back of the fact that I was correct with regard to the Dayanim. So Migu, since I was believed for the Dayanim, I'm going to believe there as well, says Rav Dimi. Sorry, nothing doing. I don't hold of Migu. That is the Chiddush of Rabbi Yochanan. So it's true. Rabbi Yochanan also must be talking about where there are two sets of Edom. Because if there are only one set of Edom, once again, you're negei b'Edus. So what's Rabbi Yochanan's Chiddush? One word, Migu. Even though I never actually brought a direct proof against the Edom, the first set, all I brought a proof was against the Dayanim, but Migu, that I'm believed against the Dayanim, I'm believed also against the Edom. And that really, Rabbi Yisrael, is the fourth, if I'm not mistaken, the final teretz to understanding how is it that Rameah holds that you can pass all the Edom. The answer is Migu. Yeah.
Even in the Migu, isn't he Nogea still?
No, because there's another set of Edom. That's what the Gemara said. Well, you're right. We must be talking about there's another set of Edom. Otherwise, finished. Dayanim, you're never Negea, because you can always produce more Dayanim, but you can't produce more Edom. Says, well, you're right. We must be talking about whether Malva claims he's got another set up his sleeve. Otherwise, he's definitely Negea. Okay, we're going to hold it over here. Mitzvah Hashem, we're going to try and make our way in the beginning of the next week towards the Mishnah. And then I think we should stop and do Chazara from the beginning of the Perek. This has been an extremely complicated sugya.
Okay, Yashar Koach.